This is the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Shoftim, Chapter 14. Today, we try and start probing the enigma who is Shimshon. And the chapter 14 begins, Vayered Shimshon Timnata, Vayari Shabbat Timnata Mibnot Plishtim, that Shimshon went to Timnah, not far from Bet Shemesh, and he sees a woman there, a Philistine woman. Vayal Vayaged La'avivul Imo, Vayome Ishara Iti Betimnata Mibnot Plishtim, I've seen a girl, Vatak Chuata Lili Isha, I want to marry her. His father and mother, notice they always talk together, say, Ha'en bivnot achicha v'chol ami isha, ki ata holech lakachad isha miplishtim arelim. Can't you find a nice, good Jewish girl? You're going to take a wife from those plishtim, those arelim. Arelim is a value statement. They're uncircumcised, they are polluted, and they are the plishtim, our enemies. Shimshon turns around and says, Kach, I want her. This sounds like a classic story of, you know, boy meets girl, he's in love, assimilation, intermarriage, and the parents just, they can't do anything about it. The rabbis say about this, Shimshon halach acharei einav, that Shimshon went after his eyes, and therefore his eyes were gouged out. The Gemara in Sota, Daftet, and notice the emphasis on Vayar, Isha Ra'iti. And there's something bizarre about this man who's meant to save the Jewish people, who instead sees foreign women all the time and desires them. Now, it could well be that we could see this in one of two ways. On the one hand, Shimshon is going to be the strange man who is more Philistine than the Philistines in his brutality, in his riddles. All of these are going to seem like, and his penchant for Philistine women. On the other hand, there's something really interesting, because sometimes we do see that saviors of the Jewish people, in order to save, have to be somewhat like our enemies. Think about it. Moshe is half Egyptian. When we get to Esther, for example, Esther is Ishtar, is her Hebrew name's Hadassah. She knows how to integrate to the point that people don't even realize she's Jewish. So frequently, if you're going to save your people, especially when your people are the underdog, the irony is that you have to be a little bit like the other nations. Chaim Weizmann used to ride around London with a Rolls Royce. He was with a top hat. He was British, and he was fighting the British for a Jewish state. Sometimes you have to be able to engage in their culture in order to fight it. Might this penchant for the Philistine way of life be part of what could possibly set up Shimshon to save us from the Philistines? It could, but in a minute we're going to see this is not the case. So they go down to go and see the Shidduch. And by the way, the text here says, Va'aviv imo la'yadu ki me'ashem hi, ki to'ana mevakesh miplishtim. His father and mother didn't know that this was really from God, because he was looking for an excuse from the Philistines. And at that time, the Philistines were ruling Israel. Who was looking for an excuse? Shimshon or God? Listen to the following, verse 5. So they're on their way down to Timnah, and suddenly there is a young lion roaring in their direction, Choeg lit krato, in his direction. And suddenly, Batislach alav ruach Hashem, he gets the spirit of God over him, and he tears it apart like somebody would tear apart a gedi, a young goat. Umu'ma'im biyado, there's nothing in his hand. V'lo higid la'aviv ul'imo at asher asah. He didn't tell his father and mother what he did. Why aren't his father and mother with him? I thought they were all walking together. The rabbis say that they were actually walking through a vineyard. And the father and mother walked through the vineyard, and that was the way they made their way to Timnah. And Shimshon said, look, I'm a Nazir, I'm not allowed to walk through a vineyard. And he went round the outside. And this is why he was alone. And he met the lion. Think about what we're talking about. How exactly do you tear a lion, a roaring lion, in half? How big is Shimshon? You know, when Gustave Doré has to imagine this, when he has to paint it, he imagines that Shimshon is actually on the lion's back and puts his hands right into the lion's mouth and tears it apart. Just think about the sheer strength, the sheer bravery, the lack of fear. Why doesn't he tell his father and mother about all of this? I think it's really very clear. Because if he tells his father and mother, what will his mother say to him? What will his father say? You see, this is exactly what God told me when I was pregnant. Didn't we tell you? Since you were a little boy, since you used to play in the Gan Yeladim, and when you used to play on the climbing frame, you used to bend the metal on the climbing frame, this strength is there, so you'll save the Jewish people. But here is the key thing. Shimshon is the man who is fleeing from his destiny. He has this fatal attraction to, this is indeed what it says in the verse. God is looking for an excuse. God is drawing into the Plishtim. He has a fatal attraction with the Philistines. And yet at this stage, he's in love. He's in love with a Philistine woman. He has been told since he was a little boy that he is going to fight the Philistines. And he is maybe even resentful of that. And instead, what happens to him? He is going to marry a Philistine girl. He is going to be more Philistine than the Philistines. Of course, what is the ultimate sign of, I don't know, Woody Allen assimilation is that you marry the non-Jewish blonde, and that shows that you are fully integrated, that you have discarded that Jewish stain on your identity. And remember that the Plishtim are Moshlim b'Israel. The Plishtim are the ruling class. The Israelites, as so often happens, probably want to identify in some way as Philistines. Well, the shidduch is made, and a year later, as we see, it says, Vayashav miyamim, which means a year later he comes to actually marry this wife. And here we're going to see two elements which are very Philistine. Number one is going to be the riddles, which seem part of the wedding celebrations. And the second one would seem to be a spirit of competition and even vengeance. Because what happens is, on the way, he goes and looks at the carcass of the lion. And in fact, there are bees. There is a bee's nest inside it. And what does it say? He puts his hand right in. He's not afraid of the bees. Bees are like flies for him. And he goes eating. It says, "Vayudeu b'fiv vayelech haloch v'achal." He's like, I don't know, like a bear eating from the honey. Gives even to his father and mother. And when he gets there, part of the wedding seems to be riddles. You know, even now, Sheva Brachot, people play games. Why do they play games? Well, maybe part of the thing is that weddings are awkward. You've got two families coming together who don't really know one another, spending a lot of time together and a lot of money. And you need something maybe to diffuse the tension, even between the chatan and the kala, it's very intense. So here, now, of course, what does Shimshon do? Shimshon has to out-Philistine the Philistines. And he gives them a riddle they can't possibly know. A riddle only works if somebody else can work it out. But this is a story nobody else would know. And therefore, when he turns around to them and he says, he says his riddle, which is, you know, Mama. By the way, he always has phenomenal poetry. Meha ochel yatzama achal umeaz yatzama tok. From the eater came the food, and from the strong came the sweet. And of course, they can't get it. What do? They start turning and putting pressure on the Shimshon's young wife, and they say, right, if you don't find out the solution, Nisrof otcha ve'et beit avicha be'esh, will burn you and your father, his whole house down. The impression here, by the way, is that that this is a battle between peoples, because she eventually turns around to Shimshon and begs him, and she's crying the whole of the Sheva Brachas, and she says, "You don't love me, you hate me." And she said, "Chida charata livnei ami veli lo hagarata. You told my people a riddle, but you didn't tell me." And she cries for 7 days, wasn't a great week, and eventually, Vatageid hachida livnei ama, she leaks the information which she gets out of Shimshon, and at the critical moment, they tell them, Ma matok midvash uma az miari, what is sweeter than honey, what is fiercer than a lion? And he says, Lulei charashtem beglati lo matzatem chidati, if you hadn't ploughed my calf, you never would have found out the solution. He's furious. And at this point, Vatitzlach alav Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God comes upon him. This is not a Spirit of God which is prophecy. This is not even a Spirit of God which leads him to summon the people. But it leads him to personal vengeance. And this is the huge dilemma and the enigma of Shimshon, because he goes to Ashkelon quite far away. He has to go a long way. Vayach mehem shloshim ish. He kills 30 people. Vayikach chalit sotam. And he takes their uniforms. And many of the people say, many of the commentators say that these were military men. And what does he do? He brings these 30 uniforms back. Vayichara po. And he's furious. Vayal beit aviyu. However, when he gets back there, vatihi eshet shimshon amre'ehu asher re'elo, they had already given away his wife. Well, I think we can well imagine that if Shimshon was furious before, he is now even more furious. And we'll be talking more about this, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week. Lehitra'ot. My name is Alex Israel, and this is the Tanakh Podcast. Please explore my website and sign up for my weekly Parsha podcasts at www.alexisrael.org. If you would like to sponsor a podcast, please contact me through my website. Lehitra'ot.